Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, as we usually do, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which will be the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Every time I use that phrase, Ordinary Time, I know that in the church, we take the Ordinary Time, which is the daily, just walking daily with the Lord, as not opposed to, but as separate from the times of great feasts and the times of great penance and the great times of celebration that we have in the life of the church just over the cycle of a year. And so that's why the word is used ordinary time. In other words, not in a particularly festive time. It's ordinary time. But you know what? I understand the distinction, but I think really nothing's ordinary when it comes to Christ. Nothing is ordinary. Our whole lives change when Christ is in the picture. Our whole lives change when our Father, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, when we speak of them and we recognize their presence in our lives, even in the days of the most mundane, ordinary things, even when the day doesn't have any high points or any low points, it's just daily routine, it's still extraordinary when we recognize that we're walking with God, that we're in the presence of God, that God desires to speak to us, that God desires that we are closer to Him at the end of this day than we are at the beginning. That's what He desires. Our job is to cooperate. Our job is to say, there's something more to this day than simply what the ordinary things are that I need to accomplish today. There's something much greater going on in the heavens. There's something much greater going on with my own life. I'm one step closer to eternity. Am I closer to God at the end of this day than I am at the beginning of it? There's nothing ordinary about the Christian life, really. Once Christ is introduced into the picture, once our relationship with Christ is known, once we experience the graces of baptism in our lives, baptism alone makes us a child of God, forever changes our identity. There's really nothing ordinary about our lives as long as we pay attention to Him, as long as we have His perspective on our daily activities. And how do we get that perspective? By reading His Word daily. We begin to get a much greater vision, an expanded vision of the purpose of life. So let's take a look at the readings. The first is from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth of Mamre, as he sat in the entrance of his tent while the day was growing hot. So he's sought a little shelter from the heat of the sun. Looking up, Abraham saw three men standing nearby. That didn't often happen like that. And when he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to greet them. And bowing to the ground, he said, "Sir, if I may ask you this favor, please do not go on past your servant. Let some water be brought that you may bathe your feet and then rest yourselves under the tree. Now that you have come this close to your servant, let me bring you a little food that you may refresh yourselves. And afterward, you may go on your way." And the men replied, "Very well, do as you have said." Do you see the hospitality? Abraham reaches out to strangers. He sees them. Yes, it's a bit novel to see strangers out here in the desert. But he sees them, and what is his first response to offer hospitality? Not, "Who are you? And why are you here? And what do you want?" But, "How can I serve you? How do you treat people? Do you first of all look at what they can do for you? Or do you look at what you can do for them?" Abraham hastened into the tent, and he told Sarah, "Quick, three measures of fine flour, knead it, make rolls." He ran to the herd. He picked out a tender, choice steer and gave it to a servant who quickly prepared it. Then Abraham got some curds and milk as well as the steer that had been prepared, and he set these before the three men. And he waited on them under the tree while they ate. See hospitality? Do you see putting yourself and your own needs aside in order to serve another? They ask Abraham, "Where is your wife Sarah?" He must have been a little surprised by that question. He didn't know them. Why would they ask that question? And he replied, "There, in the tent." And one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." Do you see what's happened? Sarah had not become pregnant. And that was, in a sense, a great curse at that time. I wish it were more so for us. But it was a great curse at that time that they must have done something wrong, that God was not blessing them with children. And here is this stranger who Abraham has reached out to and offered hospitality to. And this stranger says, "I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." And Abraham realized that a heavenly messenger had come to him. What if he had ignored him? What if he hadn't served him? We never know, brothers and sisters, when people come into our midst with particular needs. No, we don't know when we see them. We don't know why they're coming to us, perhaps. And perhaps we see it as an interruption. Perhaps we see it as an annoyance that I have to put aside what I am doing to serve another. And yet, we have no idea, really, who we might be serving, as Abraham found out. Psalm 15 tells us, "He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord." When we're just, when we're merciful, when we're kind, when we're generous, when we put others before ourselves, we will live in the presence of the Lord. God will reveal himself to us. Do you see interruptions as causes for annoyance? Sometimes they are. But do we ever stop and say, "Why is God allowing this to happen? What does the Lord want to say to me? What does the Lord want to reveal of himself to me? What does the Lord want to give me that he has allowed this interruption in my daily activity?" I pay attention. The second reading for this Sunday is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 24 to 28. "Brothers and sisters, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister in accordance with God's stewardship given to me to bring to completion for you the word of God, the mystery hidden from ages and from generations past." That's a very long sentence. What is Paul saying? "I am rejoicing in my suffering, the suffering I'm going through to bring you the gospel. I'm rejoicing in that because I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body." There's nothing lacking in the suffering of Christ. Remember how often I have taught on this passage, Colossians chapter 1. Pope John Paul explained this so well. He said, nothing is lacking in the suffering of Christ. Nothing. But he said, in God's mercy, God allows us to unite our suffering with his before the face of the Father for our salvation and the salvation of others. We have no power in ourselves. But he said, God's suffering was absolutely complete for our salvation. Complete, says John Paul, but not closed. In other words, we even today can unite our suffering with the suffering of Christ for the salvation of others. We can't save anyone. It is Christ's suffering that saves, but we can unite our suffering with Christ. We can cooperate. We can participate because God in his mercy allowed his suffering, and these are John Paul's words, to be complete but not closed. It's another expression of God's mercy that our own suffering can be of great importance for the salvation of other souls because God allows it to be. So offer your suffering. He says, I'm filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister, in accordance with God's stewardship given to me to bring to completion for you the word of God, the mystery hidden from ages and from generations past. But now it has been manifested to his holy ones, to whom God chose to know the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone, perfect in Christ. That's our call, brothers and sisters, to cooperate with Christ. Do you join your sufferings with his? Please pay attention to this. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, 4 verses, 38 to 42. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet listening to him speak. And Martha, burdened with much suffering, came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do serving? Tell her to help me. She's annoyed. She's frustrated. And the Lord said to her in reply, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. In other words, brothers and sisters, prayer, time with God is first before anything. And we need to make that time. I can give you all kinds of ways of doing it. But the important thing is that right now, today, you make the decision that God has to be first in my life. And time with him has to be first. Then my service will not only bear fruit by accomplishing the task, but my service will bear fruit because united with Christ, it can do infinitely more than my human actions alone can accomplish. Do you understand that? Unite your life daily with Christ. We're all, in some ways, there's Martha in an awful lot of us. And we can take the place of prayer by putting in more activity. Well, this person needs this and this person needs that. But unless we pray, of course, if there's danger and emergency, of course. But other than that, we ought to be able to say to ourselves, what is most important is not just the physical act that I do to help another. What is most important is that I bring them Jesus Christ. And how can I bring them the presence of God unless I spend time with God every day myself? May God give you wisdom and bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.